The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsor.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's marvelous, monumental, most fascinating, if you understand Vulcan, massively mind-bending Monday as we join our hearts and minds in one accord to draw closer to the King of Kings and glorify his name. First, it ain't easy. Following the commands of the Lord in a practical sense can be challenging. And can get a little bit more challenging as you go deeper in, and even find its way into being the most challenging of all things to do. But that's okay, because the Holy Spirit has more than the highest octane needed. Next, have you ever had someone give you an assignment? Then when you finished, they asked you if you gave your best. You know, if you didn't, you take it back and you put more effort into it. That is what the Lord wants from us, more than just enough to get by. And finally, God has given us so many beautiful gifts of his love, grace, mercy, patience, kindness, wisdom, and blessing after blessing. Jesus is the greatest gift of all, and God has given us other people in our lives as a gift.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's David, not King David, just David, at, little at sign. What is that thing called? It's like an at sign, but it's got some kind of name or something. David@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. If you call us at 972-445-0770, Terrific T will answer the phone. And when you talk to her, it's like getting a box of candies. Isn't that nice? That's a box of candies. Wow. And then she turns you over to me, and it's like you open them up, and it's all like chocolate-covered cherries. Every single one of them. It's like, wait a second. Well, for me personally, that's not my favorite. Just saying, that's what happens. But you can reach out to us if you've got a prayer request, if you've got a praise report, if you've got something you want to share, something the Lord is doing in your life, something that's taking place you're growing in and you're knowing in and you're getting and drawing closer into the Lord. I'll tell you one thing that they don't say a lot in church, but we probably should, and that is some things that the Lord puts us through or has us go through, some things are better caught than taught. Some things are better caught than taught. In other words, the Lord has to bring you through it to teach it to you versus you just hearing it. That's fine if you want to share something along those lines. Plus, we also do Bible trivia. Of course, the praise reports and the prayer requests are important to us as well. Let's do a Bible trivia. Now, we've done this one before, so I'm going to ask you to kind of keep your ears and eyes open. This is from somebody in the book of Genesis after they realized just how close to God they were when they didn't know it. This person said this is none other but the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Who said that in the Old Testament? This is none other but the house of God. Actually, they named the place Bethel. This is the gate of heaven. Who said this is the gate of heaven? Old Testament, Genesis, that's where you want to go. Keep that in mind. Oh, by the way, if you want to reach out to us, 972-445-0770. Or you can text us, 214-210-8483. In the meantime, don't forget about our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Keep in mind that all that we do, every topic is open for conversation, primarily because it's not professional radio, it's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. I will let you know, I have not told anybody this before, but over the weekend we had a bunch of people sign up for attachment to the YouTube channel. And those are all old YouTubes. There's about 42 videos. There's probably about 5 of them that are the show and about 30 of them that are just comments. You're welcome to look at them, to watch them. If you don't like them, don't watch it again. Here's my advice. If you go to a place and you have a restaurant and that meal is not that good and you know it's not that good, if you go back to that restaurant, don't order that same thing. Get something different. All right, so trivia questions on the board. Which person in the Old Testament realized just how close they were to God by saying that it says, this is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Who said that? In the meantime, let's get into our text. Everything else, we cover everything else. We already did DNA. You're all good. Did you have a nice weekend, by the way? Things are going okay?
Yeah, that was really good.
Anything particular or just kind of a chill, kind of like relaxing?
Just worked.
Okay. That's not a fun weekend working.
I mean, making money is fun.
Okay, you got me on that one. Okay, I'll take that back. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. You've heard it before. You've heard it taught before. You'll hear it again. By the way, I think the Lord showed me something really funny about the four Gospels. I don't want to say this as an absolute, but you notice that there's four Gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I've often said that God gives us four because we need as many as we could handle, so to speak. But I realized something last night as I was sitting in church, really kind of funny. And that is, the Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. But the Gospels, there's four of them. That's beyond witness that the Gospels have been declared. I like that. Just kind of an interesting flow. Anyway, 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let's just start off with honest stuff. Okay? Okay. Rejoice always. Well, that's hard. I don't know about you, but it's hard to rejoice always. It's hard twice a day for me to rejoice always. So that would be going from fate here to the studio and from the studio back out to fate. That's hard. That makes it the moment tough. I try to put worship music on and talk to people who are uplifting and keep my focus on the road, but keep my heart full of joy. But rejoicing always gives us this idea that we can do this. Now, rejoicing always doesn't mean walking around being silly like a clown. Okay, that's not what it's talking about. What it's talking about is being joyful in your heart, knowing that God loves you so much that he puts up with you. He still likes you, still wants to spend eternity with you, still thinks you're great. Oh, no, he doesn't think your sin is great. Yeah, I know that. But the point is, he likes you so much, he wants to spend eternity with you. So inwardly, you can always be thankful. You can always have an attitude of gratitude because you know God loves you. He likes you. He's going to hang out with you. He answers your prayers. He helps you. He teaches you. He corrects you. If he didn't like you, he wouldn't bother with you. We commit our time to things that we appreciate and like. Well, God commits his to us. So there's a place to find rejoice always. But that's hard, isn't it? Pray without ceasing. Yeah, right. Here's me praying without ceasing. wasn't that a funny television line? I mean, I don't pray without Susie. I don't do that. It's like, well, does that mean pray all the time? I don't think it means walking around going, Jesus, 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 Jesus. I think at that point you're kind of missing the point. But the point is to never go through these seasons where you don't spend time talking to God. Pray without ceasing. And yes, you can make an argument, oh, you're supposed to pray continually in your heart and your mind. When you're saying 2 + 2 = 4, I don't know how much God is in your mind. I think it's 2 apples and 2 apples or 4 apples. But I think the idea is that we should stay in constant communion with the Father. Here's the worst one. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Not that it's bad. It's just hard to do, to be thankful in everything. It doesn't say in everything regarding salvation. It says in everything. Give thanks. This is God's will for you. I want to do God's will. There it is. God's will. Give thanks. You want to know what God's will is? Give thanks. You want to know what his specific will is? His specific will be revealed to you when you're willing to do his general will. His specific will be, make more sense. But you got to be willing to do what he tells you off top. In everything, give thanks. You can tell me to give thanks for my drastic situation? Yes. Believing in faith that God will change it. Not for the pain itself, but what God will do to bring you through. I think there's nothing wrong with that. And people argue against that are arguing against giving praise to God. It's just weird. But the verse, next verse is the key, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not extinguish. Do not put water on the fire, from the Greek, to suppress, to stifle, to curb. You can't really rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks if you're disconnected from the Holy Spirit. It's not going to happen. Not gonna happen. Okay? All right. Got to be connected to the Holy Spirit. All right. Who said there is none of this is none other but the house of God? This is the gate of heaven. That would be our good friend Jacob in Genesis 28:17. You take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. Don't go anywhere. All of mankind destroying everyone.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been my privilege in my past. I've been a Christian for a short time, only about 40 years. But when I was in my first year, I had a chance to meet James Robeson, who had a chance to pray for my brother and myself. Very helpful at a very needful time as we were fighting our way out of a Christian cult. And he prayed for clarity. And it was just a pastor's gathering in Phoenix, Arizona. And I have the privilege again of interviewing one of what I consider to be one of the great men of God who are still with us on this planet. And I just want to give a wholehearted welcome and open door and open heart to James Robeson. Thank you, sir, for being a part of our show and a part of our audience.
Well, David, it's a pleasure to join with you, and I'm grateful that praying together was meaningful to you and a very important point in your life. So just joy to be with you and your listeners. Now, David, can I just download what I believe is the heart of our Heavenly Father to your listeners for a few minutes?
Yes, please, by all means.
When I spoke to the leaders before the election, and I talked about the need, this is in Washington, there were nearly 2,000 pastors and church leaders there. And I said, I'm telling you, there are people right now who are being captivated by the Jesus they see in some of our lives. And I said, listen to me. We have a fatherless nation, desperately in need of a father. If we, as believers, as Christians, who have the perfect Father, if we would show people clearly what the family of the perfect Father looks like, I believe the fatherless would run to the Father and the Father's house. And I believe that. I said that to the President of the United States. I said, sir, your children say you're a good father. Eric Trump happened to be sitting by me when I first said that. Eric said, he's a great father. I said, well, he may be, but that doesn't mean he's flawless. I do believe that we need a father, and I believe we can pray and God can raise up people that have a father's heart. And so I began to emphasize the church revealing what the Father's like. Now, listen to me. We as believers comprise the body of Christ, the body of born-again, baptized into Christ believers who are born from above. We have a perfect Heavenly Father who reveals his will. He's not willing that any should perish. He said, you call on me, and I'll heal your land. Now, listen to me. Christian believers, we're not looking for a champion. We've got one. He's the only one that rides the white horse. We're not looking for a king. We have a king. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that's Jesus. He holds kings in his hand. Our king, our shepherd, our father said, come to me as my family, and you ask me to heal your land in desperate need of healing. You come in humility. You come knowing I'm the only one that can heal, and I can use imperfect vessels to accomplish my perfect will. I always have. I always will.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. That was me clearing my voice. I went, I don't know if you heard that. It's like people expect you to get on the air and never have to go like that. Or you can never sneeze. Achoo! Right? It's like, that happens, people. It's one of those things that really does happen. We're going to talk about one of the hardest Christian verses in a second. Before we get there, we got another trivia question. Little more challenging, but that's the way it goes. We want to keep growing in these things that we are learning. Which person in the Old Testament said this, when the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept? For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? Who said that? Who fasted for a child to live in the Old Testament? If you think you know, you can call 972-445-0770, or you can text 214-210-8483. Who said that? Who was fasting for a child not to die? That is the question that we are asking. While that's going on, we are going to do a Hebrew word. This one should be pretty good. You should be able to remember this one for your future. So fire away. Let's do it. Hava, nagila, hava, nagila, hava, nagila, that's Hava Nagila, for those that do not know. Yay! Okay, here you go. Now, did you ever see Seinfeld? Did you ever watch the Seinfeld show? Ever? Have you ever seen it before?
I haven't seen it, but I've heard like
a lot of little lines. Okay. Yeah. You ever heard when they're talking and they said that this happened and this happened, this happened, and then yada, 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 yada. It's like one of the famous lines from Seinfeld, like yada, yada, yada. Well, here's something that's really funny. Yada, yada is the actual word, is a Hebrew word that means knowledge. And so even though they're going yada, 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 isn't that funny? Yada, 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 and yada, yada, yada. Here's the bottom line. Yada means knowledge. It means to know. It means to understand. So when next time you hear somebody doing the Seinfeld thing and going yada, 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 you can go, hey, that means knowledge in Hebrew. You know, we have
yada,
no
yada, yada,
yada. Yeah, it's just one yada, but they do it in the show like in threes. Yada, 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 yada. Okay. All right. Hey, I didn't say it'd be brilliant. I just said it would be there. Okay, which Old Testament character, not character, I hate when I do that. That's my fault. Which Old Testament person, high-ranking person, said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, and I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious that the child may live? Who was saying that? In the meantime, let's get on to our text. Is there anything else we need to cover? I'm just trying to think if there's something. We're going to do the joke in the fourth one, and the third one's history. I think we're okay. All right. Like I said, Nehemiah, Ezra and Nehemiah coming up, Acts coming up, a little surprise coming up, a couple things happening coming up. Don't forget to pray for our good friend Johnny Hill and his wonderful wife. I talked to we had some conversation over this last weekend, and hopefully we're going to get him either by phone or some way back in here. They're a blessing. They're great people. And then I, of course, want to thank everybody who's been giving and supporting, and it's just great that people do that. So I really appreciate that. Okay, here we go. Get ready. I hope you're sitting down. If you're driving, do not close your eyes. Okay, that's a bad idea. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. This is going to make me feel guilty because I'm Jewish and I have this propensity for this. And if it makes you feel guilty, that is not my intent. just so you can know. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do your work heartily. As for the Lord, rather than for men. Okay. These are one of these passages where you read it and you go, uh-huh. And you're hoping that the preacher doesn't preach on it because you don't want to hear about it. Because the reality check is many of us do enough to get by. Right? I could just use this in 100 different places. In my relationship with my wife, there's some areas that I think I do really well in. Then there's other areas in my life where just enough so that she doesn't have to say something. Just cutting through, right? Or if I go to the gym, right? I don't really do it heartily. In fact, I do it heartily. Hardly is what I do. So it's like, just enough. And here's the problem is that we forget that whatever we're doing, we often forget that the Lord is watching. And I know that I don't think of this. Hey, honey, don't forget to play with Levi, right? So I take the ball out in the backyard, right? Okay. Now, Levi's not the brightest dog. So you throw the ball, he gets the ball, and then what he does is he stops. And then I have to go chase him to get the ball because he thinks throwing and catching and fetching have to do with us chasing him. So he doesn't really understand the concept because after 10 years, I can't seem to get him to think that way. And then that gets old because chasing him is impossible. And then I quit. So then when Noel says, did you play with the dog? What do I say? Uh-huh. Sure did. I played with the dog for about 3 minutes because that was as long as it went. What I'm trying to say is whatever you do, it could be Bible, could be prayer, could be relationship, could be work, could be anything. Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. Not just enough to get by. Whatever you do, do it heartily. Do it because you know that God is watching, that God is listening, and if you didn't know this, God is recording. So while we make fun of the phones and recording one another, our words go in a book. God has a much better digital camera than we do. And when we're doing things just to get by, let's be honest about it, we're doing it for man's approval, and we're not doing things to please the Lord. When you do the church stuff just enough to get by, when you do any kind of, even if it's a Bible fellowship, just enough to get by, you know by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, yeah, I'm just getting through it. And there's a great saying, and I'll give Susie Lopez credit because she was the marketing director at the station I worked at in San Diego. She said, one of the things I've done is if I can't get out of something, I get into it. If I can't get away from it, I pour myself into it, make it as good as I can make it. It's like, that's great advice. I don't even know. I don't do that. Right? I mean, I'm sitting there, just so you can be aware, I'm going to be teaching on Nehemiah and Ezra. You know, I've spent 15 hours looking at the best outlines instead of just writing one. See what I'm saying? And it's just like, you got to do it with all your heart is unto the Lord. I don't do that in everything. I do it in a few things. I for the most part, when we do this show, I pretty much pour my heart out. But there's a lot of things in my life I don't. And I think that verse, you don't want to get legalistic, but you want to be honest. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. In other words, whatever you're doing, remember that God is watching and you're doing it. So whatever, it's terrible to say this, whatever you're doing in the room, just think of Jesus is in the room. Would you be doing it any different? Would you be paying any more attention? Would you care anymore? Right? I'm not talking about there's only so much T can do in this show. It's sound, right? How much can you do? It's like she can throw in some things every now and then, but she can't. She doesn't run the show. She got to just sit there and put up with it. That's her job. That's what she's getting paid for. She put up. Okay. But, you know, the point is that we can only do, there's only so much that you can do in certain things. But when it's convicting, you should know it is the Lord. so that we give our best before the Lord. In other words, don't live to get by. Don't live for the approval of man, which is really hard to do in a society where if your boss likes you, he gives you a raise. You know, you got to think of it from the terms of doing it all before the Lord first, okay? Because he cares. And I'm telling you, I do this poorly on a regular basis. In fact, the title of this, I'm showing it to T just real good. It says, the hardest Christian work verse. It's like the hardest verse. So I can't do everything, oh, Lord. But if you know you're not giving your effort, then tell the Lord, okay, I'm not giving it. I need to do better at it. I do pretty good at school till I get frustrated. Then when I get frustrated, I go the other direction. That's going to have to be good enough. They don't like it. They can lump it. You know, that attitude. You know what I'm saying? That's what I do. And it's like, I don't think the Lord's like going, well, that's impressive. I like that. Let me record that. That's my little fault there. And so I think if you have that going on in your life, hey, give it your best. And if you're not being convicted, don't worry about it. But if the Lord convicts you on it, you got to respond to it. You got to say, okay, I got to do better. I got to give it more effort. And I will say this about Bible reading and prayer, being annoying as I am, that needs to have sincere effort. Don't tell me, I heard that guy preach on Sunday, that ought to cover me till Wednesday. That's baloney. You can't take 5 minutes and read God's five whole whopping minutes, 300 seconds, and read his word? That's not true. You can too. All right, the answer to the trivia question, who said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? That was King David after he had slept with Bathsheba and she had gotten pregnant. And so he was hoping that the child would be spared. Keep in mind, after that, Solomon was born. But prior to that, that was a toughie. Yeah? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is John.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. And you?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm actually having a wonderful day. And, you know, every once in a while you get some extra time in with the Lord and you just think, man, I can't wait to hear that trumpet. I just can't wait.
Yeah.
I
right.
just can't
right.
wait.
What's going on? Huh? Yeah. You want to know the answer, I guess.
I do. And so this is a good one. How many times did the boy who Elijah raised from the dead, how many times did he sneeze?
Seven.
That is correct, sir. You are right. A little unknown fact from a lot of people that they might not be aware of is that actually so after Elisha stretched himself out, the child sneezed seven times, and then the child opened his eyes, which means that he sneezed those seven times without his eyes open, which is like, wow, that's bizarre. It's like, how do you do that?
I just thought about it that way.
Yeah, it's like, how would you do? I mean, how do you? My eyes go in the back of my head when I sneeze. I just don't know how that happens.
Didn't he lie prostrate across
yes,
him?
Yes, correct. That is exactly what he did.
I thought, okay, if he was sneezing, was he sneezing in Elijah's face?
That's an excellent question. I do not have that answer, but you have
we'll
to
have
sit
to
there and wonder.
To find that one out, huh?
Yeah, I mean, the prophets went through a lot, although it that could be a tough one. Excellent job, my friend. Excellent, excellent answer. Thank you.
Good to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you as well.
All right.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. We roll. That's a great question. Did he sneeze in his face? Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Let's get ready for our next trivia question. I couldn't find my history piece of paper, so I was going through the garbage trying to find it. Did I throw that out already? Okay, here it is. It's a pretty easy one. Who slept through his haircut in the Bible? Who slept through his haircut in the Bible? If you think you know, you can call 972-445-0770, or you can text 214-210-8483. All right, somebody calling in on this one. That's because it's probably a little easier. Who slept during his haircut? It's probably safe to say he didn't go to Supercuts. Who slept all the way through? Are we ready? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary.
Hi, Gary. Great to hear your voice. Been praying for you today. Hoping all is moving along. Well as it could. I know, brother. I know. All right. So this is a classic, simplistic, but fun trivia question. Who slept during his haircut?
Was it Samson?
That is correct, sir! Samson slept during his haircut. And if you remember, that was where the strength was concentrated, and that was cut. Now, technically, it was in his hair, but through the Lord. And then as his hair, after it was cut, then when it grew back, he had that strength kind of returned to him. So did that ever fascinate you, that story about Samson, him being a judge, just looking at that guy thinking, how's that guy a judge?
Yeah.
You ever sit there and think, I ain't doing as bad as I thought, you know? That's kind of what I think.
Well, I prayed for you and your family and your staff today.
Well, we need that, my brother. We need it. We're going through warfare left and right, so every and all prayer that you can offer up for us, we greatly appreciate. We greatly, greatly thank you for.
Okay. Well, thank you for praying for me, and thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you, bro. All right, Gary, stepping in, telling people, hey, the haircut came from Samson. That's who got the haircut. Slept right through it, didn't he? All right. Okay, before we get into the text, let's cover history. Here we go.
Let's go live.
All right, people, here we go. History. Today is National Bavarian Crepes Day. I could do that, right? Bavarian crepes. Do you like Bavarian crepes? Yeah, just like, it's kind of like a thin pancakey kind of thing with cream in them and stuff.
No.
Okay. I'm going to have to get you some Bavarian, like Bavarian pie and Bavarian crepes. Oh. You'll be like, okay. You'll be like, I like it. It's National Sing Out Day. I don't know. I don't know what that means.
It means to sing.
I want to sing. But the only problem with that is that some people, when they sing, they truly are making a joyful noise to the Lord. So we need to be aware of that. It's You're As Young As You Feel Day, which just depends on the day, doesn't it? Depends on when you wake.
Yeah, but this day doesn't really seem like the weather. It doesn't feel young.
It doesn't feel young because it's got that cloudy. Can you imagine living in like Seattle where it's like cloudy all the time? I'm sure it's beautiful, but it's cloudy a lot. It's like, yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's a little too much rain for me. So, you know. Of course, that week of snow here, that was unique, I will say. It's National Goof-Off Day. I feel like I fulfill that every day, so I'm not worried about that. 1894, on this day, the first playoff game for a hockey Stanley Cup took place. I always find that amazing. And for those that do not know, two things. One, the laser was invented on this day in 1960. So people think the laser is, like, you know, relatively new. That would be incorrect. It's 61 years old. And then I thought this was classic, so I had to do it. Today is the birthday of James T. Kirk, fictional character, fictional captain of the USS Enterprise. Technically, he was born on this day in the year 2233. So I'm just telling you, futuristic birthday stuff. That makes no sense. Yeah, it doesn't matter. All right, here we go. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Here's what I want you to catch. This is pretty cool. Actually, I'm going to do this other one. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 13. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. And then the next two verses say, and we urge you, brethren, we urge you to admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays one another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. In this text, you have some amazing couple of statements, but I want to start off with leadership, because churches basically function in certain forms of leadership. Some are run by a council, some are run by a committee, some are run by a board, some are run by the pastor, and then the associate pastor. I mean, there's all these different functions, and they're not, oh, this is the right one in the Bible, or this is the right one in the Bible. They're all in the Bible. Not some of them. All of them are in the Bible. But the passage that speaks this way, and it says, we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. One of the things that Paul does is in his own position, he says, look, there should be some appreciation for the people that are committed to giving themselves to you spiritually. They're probably not making the dough they can make in the world. They're mostly doing this because they want to honor the Lord. Most of them just have that sense or that draw or that call, and we should be appreciative of them. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, 12, and 13, it says, for Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so the body of Christ might be built up until we all reach the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Jesus Christ gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers as gifts to the church. I want you to hear that. Jesus himself, and that's what the passage says, so Christ himself gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to the church as gifts. This is a gift. Your leader, I'm a brother. I'm talking about your spiritual leader. I'm talking about your pastors. I'm talking about people that run your Bible study groups. I'm talking about people that help you grow, that disciple you, that help you reflect the image of Jesus Christ. Those people are gifts from God to you. Are they always perfect? No. Are you? No. Do they have your best interests in mind? Most of the time they do. They're trying to just help you reflect Jesus Christ, to be more like Jesus. And Paul says, we request you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you. Nothing better than pouring your heart out into somebody and having them step on it. It's like, you're just like, well, thank you very much. It's like, and I'm not saying that I'm saying that because we don't show enough appreciation. We don't show enough thank you-isms because people are giving of themselves to one another, especially in the kingdom of God. You know, one of the people that hardly ever get – I was praying about the church I attend today. And, you know, people that hardly get any attention are the people that do the hospitality. They get the donuts. They get the coffee. They shake hands with people. They say hello. They, you know, I don't think those people get big badges all the time. They should. And why should they get big badges? Because they're loving people that are there and that are attending the church. There should be a sense of appreciation. They're laboring. They don't have to do that. And Paul takes this take. He's not hesitant in it at all. And the reason I bring this up, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, you're commanded within the framework of Scripture to be appreciative of the people that God has brought into your lives. These people who are in leadership positions, if they're not abusing it, okay? Now, nobody's saying you should be appreciative of somebody that's, you know, being a jerk and trying to use their authority like a jerk. Nobody's saying, I'm not talking about any of that stuff right now. I'm talking about people that labor among you, that have charge of you in the Lord, that give you instruction, that teach you, that guide you, encourage you, strengthen you, that there should be a sense of appreciation. Because that's hard. It's hard work. It's easier for me. I get to do it from a distance. I'm in a studio. I get to say what I want. I get to be irritating. It's awesome. It's kind of like my own gift. But God gave apostles and prophets, evangelists and pastors and teachers as gifts to the church. Your pastor's a gift. And so I encourage you to be encouraging. And especially you got Easter coming up, right? And you got, you know, they're double duty. They're spending more time in the Scripture trying to figure out the best way they can to present the church, present the gospel to people that have never heard it, because Easter has a lot of people that people visit during Easter, and that's a good time to make that presentation as solid as you can be. They're going to really pour it out for the next 2 or 3 weeks. Remember that. They're not going into a bank of files and saying, I'll take that one like a buffet. They're studying before the Lord to show themselves approved. And in doing that, they're committing and giving labor. And they have to preach not just to the unsaved, but to the saved. Hey, that's a tough task. So be appreciative. Let them know. Encourage them. Strengthen them. Bless them. Because that's what Paul asks us to do. That's what the Lord asks us to do through the verbal plenary writing of Paul. And that's what we should do. We should be a blessing to those who are helping us and instructing us. That's what God wants from us. Okay? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
You think it's bad like this? My wife has to put up with this every day. So she has learned to completely tune me out. And then I'll say something. I'll say, did you hear me say that? And she goes, no, I just heard you talking. That's what she says. That's right. I love you, honey.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then, the show starts. And you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience. Only for the brave of heart and the bored.
If Jesus was like
me. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Okay, got a trivia question for you guys. Not a tough one, but a good one. Who was sleeping between two soldiers when an angel came to release him? Who was sleeping between two soldiers when an angel came to release him? I will tell you that that was the night before his execution was supposed to take place. And there he is sleeping. That's impressive. If you think you know, you can call 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. I have a joke. It is not the most spiritual joke in the world. Is that a nice way to say that? And what that means is that you're just going to have to put up with it, okay? Because I got to tell it. Ready? You ready? Got the buzzer ready? Ready? All right. Is that ready? All right. There we go. All right. Get ready. One Sunday, a pastor told his congregation that the church needed some extra money and asked the people to prayerfully consider giving a little extra in the offering plate. He said that whoever gave the most would be able to pick out three hymns. Ooh, nice. After the offering plates were passed, the pastor glanced down and noticed that somebody had placed $1,000 in the offering. He was so excited, he immediately shared with joy in his congregation about the fact that somebody had given that and wanted to personally thank the person who placed the money in the plate. And there sat our Rosie all the way back in the very back. Shyly, she raised her hand and said, it was me. The pastor asked her to come to the front. Slowly, she made her way to the pastor. He told her how wonderful it was that she gave so much in Thanksgiving, and he asked her to pick out the three hymns. Her eyes brightened as she looked over the congregation, and she pointed to the three most handsome men in the building, said, I'll take him and him and him. Come on, that is good. Hey, hey, hey.
That's a good one. I'll take him and him and him. Did you like that
and
one?
Him too.
That's a good one, huh? That's good. I'll take him and him and him. All right, people, laugh. It's funny. That was funny. Oh, wait, don't forget about our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. And then don't forget our trivia question. Who was sleeping between two soldiers when an angel came to release him? That was the night before his execution. If you think you know, you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770 or 214-210-8483. Here we go on our last teaching. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says this, we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as the rest who have no hope. People who are more prone to grieving, by the way, that word in the Greek is loupeio, it means to affect with sadness, to cause grief, or to throw into sorrow. If they have no hope, they're thrown into sorrow. If you have no hope, there's a grief, a process of discouragement. There's a process of, you know, sadness. There's a process of grieving and of grief and of sorrow. And Paul is talking, he says, I don't want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who have fallen asleep, those who have passed on, so that you will not grieve as the rest who have no hope. That's, he's talking plainly about people who have hope in the resurrection and people that don't have hope in the resurrection. If you don't have hope in the resurrection, you're going to be full of grief. You're going to be sad. You're going to be full of sorrow. If you don't understand that the resurrection is real, you're going to be that way. Because that hope gives us a spark in life. Hebrews 6:18 and 19. God did this so that two by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Listen to the text. We who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us. What is the hope that's offered to us but the resurrection from the dead? That life does not stop when the doctor says your time of death on earth. Life does not cease. God is not into cessation in that capacity. And that hope that is offered to us is something that's supposed to greatly encourage us. Jesus brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Through the gospel that Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, and 3 days later he rose again. And by faith in the testimony of God, you can live forever. That hope is offered to us. If that hope is offered to you and you have not yet accepted, acknowledged, and surrendered to it, I ask you to do so right this second. I don't even care if you do a fancy prayer. Just say, God, save me in Jesus' name. You will be saved. If you believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross, was buried, 3 days later he rose again, and you surrender your heart to Jesus Christ, turning from where you were and turning to him, you will find life right now. And you might be out there thinking, there's no way it can be that easy. Wrong, but you have to receive it. You have to surrender to it. You have to acknowledge God's testimony and say yes to Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what your friends say. Doesn't matter what any other family member says. It only matters for your decision before God in regards to his testimony relating to Jesus Christ and your sins. And that's the hope that is offered to us. And we can be greatly encouraged by that. And that hope is an anchor to our soul. That anchor makes it so that even if the winds are heavy and the waves are intense, we don't get tossed and lost. That there is some stability, that there is some strength. And you can't be like these people that have no hope. All there is this life and there's nothing else. That's why they're trying to sin their brains out, because they don't think there's anything else left. But they're going to die and face God. And he's going to ask regarding his account that he's given in relationship to Jesus Christ. And they're going to have to answer. And if they have rejected, then they will be as they have placed themselves as people with no hope. But if you're a person that has not made that decision to say yes to Jesus Christ, make that decision right now. You don't know what's going to happen in 1 minute, let alone 1 hour from now. And God, who it's impossible for God to lie, has made this commitment, made this offer, made this opportunity to both you and me and all of us around. The simplicity is that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that the wages of that sin, the wages falling short, is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And God, demonstrating his love for us, sent Jesus Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. There is nothing more important than that principle right there. The hope that is offered to believers who acknowledge and surrender to the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's what's being offered. That's what gives you encouragement. That's what enables you to go on. You're going to have a lot of sorrow in this life. Job said it best, a man's days are few and full of trouble. But in the next, there is something so wonderful that even in man's mind, we cannot retain it. For eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, neither can the heart comprehend, can't even receive the great things which God has prepared for them that love him. There's such a great thing that's coming for us, such a great place, such a wondrous place. But you got to acknowledge the invitation. You got to say yes, because if you don't say yes, you're not going to that wedding. The wedding of the Lamb. Don't be that person. Don't be that person that rejects it. Don't be that person that lives in sorrow, in grief, and in sadness. Don't be that person. Be the one that says yes so that you can be a part of the great wedding feast, that you can be a part of the great celebration. Now, life is much more than this 60, 70, 80, 90 years. It's eternity on the line. And if you've already said yes, rest in the comfort. Rest in that place. Rest in that goodness. That all is well. And even on this side, if it's hard, on the other side, it's glorious. We asked the trivia question. It's really kind of funny in its own way, because the trivia question was, who was sleeping between two soldiers when the angel came to release him? And that was Peter the night before his execution. How do you sleep the night before your execution? Because you know where you're going. That's how you do it. You know what's coming. More of the glory of God. Say yes before it's too late. Okay? All right. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, taking a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Just as I am, you reach down and see me.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.